What's going on, Tana and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's October 20th, 2025. Episode 466 of the Tana and J-Man Show is now underway, streaming live on the ISC Sports Network, the ISC Sports Network YouTube channel, as well as the Tana and J-Man Show YouTube channel and the Tana and J-Man Show Facebook page. Like, subscribe, hit that follow button, that notification bell, all that good stuff. And here, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you're following the podcast and give us that 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. I'm Tanner Lee. You know that already. And you know my co-host. He doesn't really need an introduction, but I'm introducing him anyways. Josh, the J-Man Muntz, still rocking the Cubs sweatshirt. What's going on, J-Man?
Not a whole lot. I guess I didn't realize it was a Cubs sweatshirt. I just put on a hoodie because I'm very happy it's hoodie weather.
Yes, finally. Sir. Yes,
for the first time, really. So, but yeah, still rocking the Cubs. They're the only team that I have that is worth a darn at this point. So I'll be rocking it all winter.
Illinois basketball.
Season hasn't started yet, though. Yeah. So we don't know.
Kind of.
Exhibitions are happening, but not the real thing yet. So,
do they play in one of the enhanced exhibition games that goes to charity this year?
This year they played Illinois State, which was yesterday. And that is that was it. Last year they played Ole Miss. Year before they played Kansas, but this year is Illinois State. I think it was one of those things that they were trying to help kind of another state school, one of the lower mid majors. They're supposed to be very good. Like, I think they were projected to win the Missouri Valley in the preseason poll, but their head coach yesterday said, we were 0-for-60 trying to schedule high majors this year because no one wants to play us. Either want to play a quad one opponent or a quad four to help their metrics. So they're kind of in a bad spot. So I think that was kind of Illinois kind of throwing them a bone a little bit. But
0-for-60.
And wow. Then, yep. And then they do, within the next, I don't know what day it is, or anything like that, they do have a secret scrimmage, which they're no longer secret because everyone knows, but it's against Florida. So defending champs. So we'll see.
Yeah, I didn't even know the secret scrimmages were still a thing.
I know.
I thought everybody kind of played at an arena and you opened it up for the public to come in and proceeds go to charity. So,
yep. I think, there's not too many secret scrimmages anymore. I remember when they were a huge deal, like 5-10 years ago, they started becoming a big deal, but now, they call them a secret scrimmage, but it's mainly like they work on situational stuff. It's almost like a joint practice like you see in the NFL at this point. So
it's just like everything else with college sports, traditions are going away.
Yep.
Slowly but surely. Yep. So I didn't realize this weekend could be the last USC Notre Dame game.
Unless I didn't either. Yeah.
Get something done. They're working on an extension for next year and the following year. But I think that's more USC kind of wanting out now that they're in the Big Ten and their schedule is more loaded every year than it was when they were in the Pac-12.
And they're already having to come out east a lot more now. So it makes probably travel more difficult. And that makes sense. It's a good rivalry, though, that Notre Dame has really, for the most part, dominated the past 10 years or so.
Yep.
But before that, it was all USC. Starting with, I literally just saw a highlight of the Bush push a few days ago, and I couldn't believe how high that grass was
on Notre
Dame. Now they all cut it real, real, real short so people can run, but it was like, it felt like it wasn't, but it felt like ankle high grass they were running. It was pretty funny.
They grew it out to slow USC down that weekend.
Mm-hmm. Almost worked.
Almost.
Didn't ultimately work, but I do have some birdie bogey for you.
Okay.
Were you aware that the NBA season starts tomorrow?
I was, actually, because I've seen a lot of the commercials for NBC, Peacock, all that.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I was unaware of that fact until today when I saw that. Oh, NBA season starts tomorrow. I thought it was closer to Halloween.
Used to be.
But now, yeah, October 21st seems pretty early for them to start. But I do have an NBA question for you. You can ask my wife. I tried to look for a trivia question for 2 hours last night. Couldn't find a good one. Still don't necessarily like this one. But can you name the player, the last player, I should say, to win the regular season MVP in the NBA and the finals MVP in the same season?
Once again, I got a guess, but I don't think I'm right, but I'm gonna try.
Yeah. Regular season MVP, finals MVP in the same season. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine cocktails, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, I'm pulling up their Facebook page right now, and well, they didn't post their weekend specials last weekend, so
can make some up for them right now. Give our culinary expertise.
Well, how well do you know seafood dishes?
Because I know nothing about seafood. You give me a burger and I can find my way around a grill. Some steak, I'll grill you some steak.
All right, so chicken. Make the J-Man burger special for Arlington.
All right, so you got a burger, right? Yep. Topped with ketchup, topped with mater, topped with lettuce. Call it a day.
Look, what kind of seasonings are we using?
I'm using Kinder's The Blend. That's my favorite. Salt, pepper, garlic. A little bit of this on the top, a little bit of that on the other side. Grill it about 3 minutes each side, so it's got a little nice little pink center. Yeah, simple is the best way to go.
What's the side? What's on the side there?
Oh, let's see. What can I do on the side? You're going to be happy with some tater tots in the air fryer. That's what you people are going to be happy with.
Amen. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. Sign me up. Yeah. All right. But got a lot to talk about tonight. Of course, after tonight, of course, the audio for this comes out tomorrow. So everybody's going to know tomorrow who's playing the Dodgers in the World Series. But tonight is game 7 between the Mariners and Blue Jays. Should be a good one. Mm-hmm. We had another crazy week of the NFL, which isn't done yet. We got a doubleheader tonight, Monday Night Football. I believe it's the last one of the season.
Hopefully the last one ever.
probably not. But I saw we have 2 more international games to go this year.
I'm so sick of those, too.
Not this week, but we got 2 more. One involves your Dolphins. One involves the Colts later on this season. But we had some crazy games went down over the weekend. College football had some movement in the rankings this weekend, so we get into all of that. But I'm going to give you the blind rankings
all right.
A little early this week because one of the things I want to talk about through the blind rankings is my Denver Broncos, a pretty historic comeback yesterday, being down 19-0 going in the fourth quarter, winning the game 33-32. So I listed 5 events that were either historic comebacks, or you could call them collapses by the team or choke job by the team, but they've all been in the last 25 years. And I'll let you rank them how you want.
Alrighty.
So I came up with 3 pretty easily, and the last 2 I kind of had to dig a little bit. So we will start with the New York Yankees collapse in the 2004 ALCS.
Up 3 games, nothing. And then, obviously, the year before they had won the walk-off against the Red Sox to advance and then lose to the Marlins. That's probably the most historic one in baseball, of the past 25 years. So I'm going to put that – man, I have a hard time not putting that 1.
Well, and look what it did for both franchises going forward.
Yeah, they kind of – I mean, the Yankees have still been very good since then. But, they've won 1 World Series and 2 the Red Sox.
One and been to 2 since then.
Yeah, Red Sox have won, I think, 3 in that span. I'm going to put them 2.
2? All right. NBA, the Warriors, 2016 NBA Finals collapse after being up 3-0 against the Cavs.
I thought they were up 3-1.
I thought it was 3-0. Maybe it was 3-1.
I think the only reason why I remember it was 3-1 is because the Cleveland Indians at the time were up 3-1 in the World Series that same year in the lost. Gotcha. That was still a pretty historic collapse. I'm going to put that 4, though.
4? All right. The Texas Rangers 2011 World Series.
Oh, this man.
This isn't a series collapse, but it was a collapse of Game 7.
Yeah, they were up 2 in the 9th with 2 outs and 2 strikes on David Freeze, and he hits a 2-run triple. And then they talk about that the most to tie it. The one they don't talk about is they were also down to their final out again And they tied it with two outs in like the 11th inning, and then David Freese ends up walking them off. Man, again, I have a hard time. Ah, man.
Didn't Nelson Cruz drop a pop-up?
No, he –
I thought he did.
So he was the one – he kind of misplayed it a little bit in right field, which led to the two runs on David Freese. It was a tough play, though. Like, he was going back to the wall, and he jumped a better non – see, he was a DH all year, and they had to play him in right field because back then they had the old-school rules, obviously. So a competent right fielder probably makes the catch, and the Rangers win the World Series. Unless there's a – now that you say that, it seems like there was another play he misplayed.
I thought he dropped a pop-up, but maybe I probably that was four. You know, that was freaking 14 years ago.
So. I'm gonna put that three.
Okay. The Kansas City Chiefs 2014 lost to the Indianapolis Colts 45-44 after being in the wild card after being up 38-10 in the third quarter.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was a miracle comeback. Was that one? Was that when Andrew Luck recovered the fumble and then dove in, or was that the year? Okay.
Yep.
I'm gonna take a chance and put that five. Yeah.
And last, Super Bowl 51, Falcons up 28-3.
Yeah, definitely number one. Definitely number one. And you know what? I don't think I'd even need to re-rank them. I'm pretty happy with my choices there. That's a good list, though.
Yep, I could have thrown some golf in. And I mean, if we were going all time, there could have been a lot of others. But I wanted to keep it kind of more recent. So. So I thought our memories, could remember that a little better. So.
Yeah, I'm the only one I might think about is swapping two and three, just because you know it was a championship series and not a World Series,
right?
But that was a more historic collapse than the Rangers one was.
Yeah,
but.
Right. Then, especially since the Rangers ultimately won one years later.
But yeah, I can't imagine how those fans were feeling. I wouldn't even want to wake up in the morning after that.
Well, Chiefs fans don't even think about the loss against the Colts anymore because they've won
And it would have been a heartbreaking loss, but at the same time, they would have gotten waxed by whoever, you know, New England or Baltimore was good that year, whoever. So
that was the year the Broncos made the Super Bowl
and got smacked. Denver. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, but the Falcons, their fans are still feeling the repercussions of that one. So,
yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
It was real bad. It was real bad. So, that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Proforma Print Shoe Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2025 or 2026, Proforma Print Shoe Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
The American League Championship Series Game 7 is tonight. It kicks off, first pitch, I should say, here in about an hour and a half, a little less than an hour and a half. And Mariners, never been to the World Series. Blue Jays haven't been in since 93, so we'll get some new blood in there on the American League side anyway, and they get a face.
I don't think it's going to matter.
I don't either. I don't either. The Dodgers, who just wiped the floor with the Milwaukee Brewers, only gave up four runs over a four-game series and a four-game
Cubs are going to put up a better fight than the Brewers did.
I think so, but, you know, they couldn't because they lost. So, I don't think the Cubs would have fared that much better. They might have snuck out a game, squeaked out a game against them. But, the Dodgers, they're 9-1 in the postseason now, and they're very, very good, obviously. But Shohei Ohtani won ALCS or NLCS MVP after doing absolutely nothing the first three games, and then had arguably the greatest game a Major League Baseball player's ever had in Game 4. He struck out 10 on the mound, and he hit three homers at the dish. Yeah. So
the second one was stupid.
Yeah, it was completely out of the stadium. I've watched so many like in-stadium videos of that fans took, like when they're sitting in the outfield and it just goes over their head. I can't get enough of those videos. Dodgers are the best team left. It was an interesting stat that I shared with you today that this is now the fifth time ever that in the league championship series that one team has advanced the World Series after sweeping, and the other team will have needed to win a deciding game to get in there. And every single time, the winner of the one that had to go either five or seven, whichever it was, back in the day, ended up winning the World Series. So as my brain works, that just gives me, okay, Dodgers are going to buck that trend because that's because it's due. But I think on paper, the Mariners would be a better matchup to beat the Dodgers just because of their pitching. But the Blue Jays can really hit. And obviously both places will be rocking. But especially tonight, Game 7 in Toronto. Man, this will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. Blue Jays could have gotten it done already. I mean, they got down 2-0. Mariners won the first two in Toronto, and then Blue Jays came back and won the first two in Seattle and had a 2-1 lead entering the eighth inning and gave up a game-tying homer to the big dumper, Cal Raleigh, and then a grand slam to Eugenio Suarez. Or they could have had this thing clinched already, but they found a way to win last night. And tonight we have old man – I don't think he's that old. I think he's about our age, but it seems like he's been around for a long time. Shane Bieber. He might even be younger than us. He's probably younger than us, like 3 years younger than us. Shane Bieber for the Blue Jays against George Kirby for the Seattle Mariners, and neither guy's pitched all that well in the postseason, but both had pretty good regular seasons. Bieber wasn't even healthy till August, and he got traded.
He's 30.
Yeah, I thought once I said that, I'm like, he's been around forever, but I think he was born in like 94 or 95.
95.
So, yeah, he's not our age at all. He's a lot younger than us.
He's just a youngster.
Yeah, he's a little whippersnapper. Give me the Blue Jays. I have a hard time not picking the home team in Game 7, so I think the Blue Jays ultimately win. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. Book it!
I'll take the Mariners to be different.
I like it. It would be interesting to have – in fact, during the show last week, our good buddy who drives us nuts – Aaron Lynch. I hope he watches this too. I said it just because I hope.
Oh, he'll listen. He'll be listening.
He asked me actually a very good question. When was the last time that two Pacific Coast time zone teams played in the World Series against each other? And he thought
88.
That's what he thought. He's like, was it 1988? I'm like, no, it was the Giants Angels back in 2002. So I think that was the last one. I didn't go through them all.
It's gotta be.
Has to be. Giants were in it three times since 2002, and they played the Rangers their central time. Played the Rangers, Royals, and Tigers. So no, yeah. Has to be because the A's haven't been in since '88 or '89, whichever that. I think it was '89. Which that was Giants. A's was '89 because it was the earthquake. Mariners have never been in it. Padres haven't been in it since '96, and they played the Yankees. 98, and they played the Yankees. Angels haven't been in since 02. It has to be that one, Angels Giants. So, but that was a very good question from our good friend Aaron Lynch.
That was a good question.
Yeah. So, I don't like to give him props too often.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Let's talk some football now. Let's shift gears. Let's start with NFL this week. Feel like the NFL will get more time. Three winners, three losers.
My first winner is the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Flacco can still sling it, man. 40 years old, outdueled the other old man, Aaron Rodgers, to kind of settle things down there for the Cincinnati Bengals. He's so much better than Jake Browning. It's not even funny.
He was slinging it. Rodgers was slinging it the other night. That was a pretty enjoyable Thursday night game.
So,
my first winner is going to be the LA Rams.
Yeah.
Went over the across the pond and took care of business 35-7 without their best wide receiver. And they're sitting there 5-2, but should have probably even better record than that. I mean, a blocked field goal against Philly.
Yeah, they blew a huge lead in that one, too.
Yeah, but I think they're pretty dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous. The old man threw 5 touchdowns. Stafford did.
He can still sling it too. Again, definitely. These old guys can still throw the rock around. So
my second winner is the Kansas City Chiefs. I have a hard time not even saying they're the best team in the AFC again. It's only been two good weeks, but man, they've looked pretty good the past 2 weeks. Now they have Rashee Rice back. It's annoying.
Yeah, I'm glad they don't have the division lead yet. They probably will eventually, but maybe they'll lose at Buffalo in 2 weeks. But I don't know. Bills got to get together
a little bit. Yeah, they do.
Let's see. Another winner for me. It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers last night, beating the Falcons after the Falcons coming off a big win against the Bills. This Niner team's so injured. And they just find ways to win games. I mean, they're doing it with the back of quarterback. They keep losing guys, usually on the defense side of the ball every game. But they're just so well coached. Yep. So when they start getting guys back, they could really, really be a team to be reckoned with in the NFC. Not that they already aren't, but.
Yeah, 5-2, a lot of season left, but it feels like, entering this year, it felt like kind of not a make or break, but like if things go sideways here, it might be time for a little parting of ways.
Right.
Mutual parting of ways. With the Kyle Shanahan, but he's got him playing very good football. My last winner is the Carolina Panthers. They're over 500 for the first time this late in the season. And how long? It feels like it's been since their Super Bowl year. I know it's probably not. They were fairly fortunate to squeak one out. Did Young get hurt, Bryce Young?
Yes, he's out this week.
Okay, because at the end of the game, I turned it on and I saw Dalton was in. It's a pretty dang good.
Foot or ankle, I want to say.
Okay. It's a pretty dang good backup to have, Andy Dalton. Good for them. I don't know if it'll last, but.
And now they play the Bills this week. At home,
it's not going to last this week.
Sure, they're wishing they had Bryce Young.
Yeah.
My last winner is the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
I know you just said the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, but it's hard for me not to say the Colts aren't the best team in the league.
Yeah, right now. No, I'm right there with the league.
I mean, they've only lost one game, and every time I keep waiting for the shoe to drop, and it's just not happening. Jonathan Taylor's best running back in the league right now. Daniel Jones isn't making mistakes. His receivers are better than I thought they were. Their O line's good. Their defense still has some question marks, definitely the defensive backfield. And I know the Chargers are really, really injured, especially on the offensive line. But to go into SoFi and win 38-24 was an eyebrow raiser for me. So
yeah, Herbert threw a couple picks, including one in the end zone, which was bad right before half too. They had a chance to get some momentum. They couldn't.
Yep. Three losers.
New York Giants. I know you want to talk about this game a little bit. Up 19-0. They were even up, what was it? It was 26-8. There we go. I think they win that game if Jackson Dart just takes a sack instead of tries to throw it.
Probably.
Yeah, Denver would have had to drive the length of the field twice to do it. But, credit to Denver where it's due, and credit the Giants kicker. Man, that was a bad day. That was a bad day for him. But one thing that I don't get that teams do is once it's, like, late, like, I mean, Giants are up 2 with 30-some seconds left, and their defense played good for the first 3 quarters, and then they changed things. They went away from their base defense, went more prevent. And how often do we see that hurt teams? Every single time. The Giants are a bad team that found a way to lose that football game, and that's just what bad teams do.
Yeah, they play at Philadelphia now this week. I mean, you could tell that Dart and Scatterby have added some juice.
For sure.
That team, they're young. They maybe have a promising future, even though I don't know how long Cam Scatterby can last in this league running the way he does. Reminds me of a skinnier Peyton Hillis.
Yes.
There was one time yesterday, he was going to score anyways, and he scored, and he lowers his head down right into Hufanga. I'm like, dude, are you just asking for a concussion?
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't shy away from stuff, and that's why we've seen running backs like him not last in the NFL. Yep. So he probably has like a 5-year career. Like you said, up 19 zip going in the fourth quarter. And then the Broncos scored 33 points in the fourth after not scoring any, end up winning on a game winning field goal. And even there, the Giants were playing kind of a prevent instead of rushing four.
Yeah.
And it bit them. I mean, that's where Bo Nix, He struggled mightily through three quarters. Sean Payton struggled even worse, I think, as a play caller. But then he plays loose in the fourth quarter, finds a way to get it done. I got some stats here. Yesterday was Demaryius Thomas Day in Denver. He got into the Ring of Fame. And they also celebrated the 10th year anniversary of the Super Bowl 50 team. Demaryius Thomas passed away at the age of 33. The Broncos scored 33 points yesterday, and time remaining on the clock when they started their game-winning drive with the field goal was 33 seconds.
Dang.
Kind of goosebumps right there. And Cortland Sutton ended up with 87 yards, run away from 88, which Demaryius Thomas' jersey number. Teams were 1,061-0 when leading by 18 or more points with 6 minutes left in the game until yesterday.
Yikes.
That was Bo Nix's sixth fourth quarter comeback already for the Broncos. First quarterback in NFL history to have two rushing touchdowns and two passing touchdowns in the same game. It was the second most fourth quarter points ever scored in NFL history. The Lions had 34 against the Bears in 2007. At one point in the fourth quarter, the Broncos' win percentage was 0.7%. Win probability, I should say, with 6:38 left on the clock, down 26-8, and with 4th-and-3 for their offense. It was the eighth most improbable comeback since the next-gen stats era began in 2016. And last five drives for the Broncos after doing nothing the first three quarters, four touchdowns and one field goal.
They got to stop doing that.
In two-point conversions. Yes. It's starting to remind me of the 2011 season with Tim Tebow, which they don't do anything for three quarters because even the Jets was a comeback victory, even as sloppy as it was. The Eagles was a comeback victory. Definitely. So that's three in a row.
Yeah, it was similar kind of-ish to the Eagles' victory down. Yep. You know, had nothing going first three quarters and then found a way to
turn it on.
Yep, Nix is clutch. He's bad the first three quarters.
Yep.
At least the past couple weeks.
And then they get behind and he looks loose and then
just start down 14-0 and the game can start maybe. Well,
Sean needs to run the ball more. That's what he needs to do, but he's stubborn. So other losers around the league. Sorry, Jay, man. I got to put the Dolphins.
Not talking about loser.
not because they lost, but how they lost. 31-6, just a drumming. And I did see on ESPN that Mike McDaniel was asked about a potential quarterback change and no quarterback change coming, which.
Why would they change quarterbacks? Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of dumb.
Lose a bunch of losers.
That Moody says 0.7%. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah.
All right. I get you.
I have a hard time not cussing on this show tonight. My second loser, Jacksonville Jaguars, put the league on notice just 2 weeks ago. Hey, we just beat the Chiefs, and then just since then, which is what Trevor Lawrence does. He's a gutless loser just like Tua.
Another loser for me is Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Cardinals have lost four straight games by a combined 13 points.
Yeah.
If you know any Cardinal fans in your life, you probably don't. But if you do, you might want to check in on them, see if they're doing okay.
Yeah. My last loser, LA Chargers. I know you had the Colts in the winners category. But Chargers, you know, thought, hey, maybe they're the best team in the AFC. And then they lose to who they lose to 2 weeks ago?
Lost to the Giants at home, and then they lost to
that was it. They lost to the Giants in New York, and then they beat the Dolphins on a miracle last second, and then they lost to the Colts. Got murdered by the Colts. It wasn't even as close as the 14-point spread looked. Something's off there. I know Herbert's off. He has. It's not even him making these. The media bends over backwards, and people bend over backwards to make every excuse in the book for the guy. He's just not a winner. He's just not that guy. He's a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. They're never going to win a Super Bowl with him. No shot.
Yeah. They just can't get over the hump. Never have been able to.
Yeah.
My last loser. I'm between two teams here, but I'm going with the Raiders. I know they lost at Arrowhead, which is a tough place to play. And they lost to the Chiefs. Very good team. 31-0. Maybe it's too early to say this, but I don't think Pete Carroll's going to work out.
No, I'm with you.
He should have just stayed retired.
The Geno signing was stupid. I never believed in him for a second. Now he's real bad. So
yeah, I don't know. I think Aiden O'Connell's finally coming back. I don't know if they'll switch to him or not. But
they have Kenny Pickett there too, right?
Yeah, Pickett. Yeah, forgot about him. I was going to say they could I don't know why they'd want to do this, but they could try to go out and get Russell Wilson. Yeah. Pair him back with Pete Carroll, but I don't know how that relationship is. Supposedly they've patched things up, but I don't know.
Yeah, it ended pretty poorly, which seems to be a theme of the Russ. Yep. Of Russ.
He warmed up a little bit on the sidelines yesterday. There was one point that Jackson Dart limped off the field. And, oh, I was hoping he'd come in.
Yeah.
Just 2 years in a row.
I was going to say.
His team played at Denver last year. He was hurt against Steelers, so Justin Fields actually beat the Broncos. And then this year with the Giants, he was a backup. So. Yep. So, but I always put the Titans as a loser.
Yeah, they stink.
They stink. Cam Ward is not showing me much.
No. Nope. I agree.
So, and I almost put the Bears as a winner. Four straight.
Yeah. They beat one of the worst teams in the league, but still, that's kind of game they usually lose or they've lost in years past. So maybe things are different there. They started 4-2 last year though, so.
And you know what I will say about the and the Bears defense did really good yesterday. Mm. Caleb Williams not so much. But I will say this about the Saints, even though they're not good. They play really hard.
Yeah.
And some other teams in the league that are bad, I don't think play very hard enough. So at least Kellen Moore is getting that out of them. So they do not have
one of them on paper.
Do they reside in Miami?
Potentially. Actually, they reside in West Palm Beach. But yeah.
So are you surprised we haven't heard anything about Mike McDaniel?
No. No, I'm not.
Because last week you were saying if they lose to Cleveland, you might have a job.
I thought for sure. I'd never read that anywhere. That was just my thought. And then the way it happened, I can't imagine. But old Stevie Ross wants to see if they can turn it around. He's fond of Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. You can like them as people, but still realize that they're bad at their job.
Business, Steven. It's a business.
He's a self-made billionaire. He would have fired these guys. Well, he would definitely fire Chris Greer years ago if he was running one of his other businesses. The fan base is gone. Like he's lost them. So, what's the point of making a change at mid-season? Now the trade deadline's in 2 weeks. If I'm Steven Ross, I'm telling Chris Greer, you do not make a single trade. Don't do it. Not going to let you. I don't want you to mortgage the future even further when he should be fired. But again, I have zero confidence that Steven Ross will actually fire Chris Greer. He's unfireable at this point, and I don't understand it. No one gets it.
I'm seeing a common trend in your fandom with GMs here.
Now, yes, Jed saved himself, and he's done an okay job, as much as I hate to say it.
I don't know. There's a lot of hashtag Fire Jed tweets this year.
No, there was no Fire Jed tweets this year.
Are you sure?
Not hashtag Fire Jed.
Are you sure?
Not hashtag Fire Jed. I know for a fact there was no hashtag Fire Jeds.
All right.
I was grumpy after the trade deadline, but I got over it after a few weeks. But Jed's a lot better at his job than Chris Greer is. I'll just say that.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. But do you want to pick games for week 8?
I do.
Thursday nighter, Minnesota Vikings at the LA Chargers. I don't know if McCarthy's coming back. He was a emergency quarterback yesterday, which tells me he's healthy enough probably to start coming back. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Might be hard with a Thursday game.
Yeah.
Give me the Chargers for 4. I don't trust either of them at this point.
I got the Chargers for 2. I hope they never wear those banana uniforms.
Gosh, they were ugly. They were so ugly.
Yep. The New York Jets at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Jets stink. Give me Bengals for 10.
I got the Bengals for 9. They got the Jets and the Bears back-to-back weeks. Could the Bengals start making a little push? They got the weapons to do so. We'll see if they can do it. The Jets, I don't know when they're going to win a game, if they're going to win a game. They should play Tyrod Taylor if they want to win a game.
I agree. And he stinks too.
Yep. Buffalo Bills at Carolina Panthers.
Give me the Bills for 7.
I got the Bills for 11 because of Bryce Young being out. If he was playing, not near as high, but I don't know.
For some reason, I think Dalton's better. That's just my thought.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think they both stink.
Oh, I think Bryce Young's done pretty well for himself the last 3 years.
He's done okay. But
you would think otherwise if he wasn't the number one overall pick.
Fair. That's a good point.
San Francisco 49ers at the Houston Texans, who play tonight. Don't they play tonight, or do they not? No.
Yes, they do. Yes. They play Seattle.
Seahawks.
Give me San Francisco for 3.
I have the Niners for 6. can't figure this Texan team out.
No.
I don't know how much longer Purdy's going to be out, but Mac Jones, one of those guys, change of scenery, he's doing them good. Yeah. So the New York Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants just beat the Eagles a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Philadelphia squeaked by yesterday against Minnesota. Give me Philadelphia for 8.
I got the Eagles for 5. I think it'll be good.
Could
game.
See this loss for the Giants have a lingering effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Dable. Those are the loss type losses that can eventually get you fired.
Yeah, he should have been fired a while ago, probably.
Yeah. He was on the hot seat a couple weeks ago. So. Yeah. Cleveland Browns at the New England Patriots.
Give me Patriots for 9.
I got the Pats for 7, but I almost went with the Browns for 1. I have a weird feeling about this game. I don't know why, but maybe that's just because I don't want to see the Patriots become winners again. But
I know. Yeah. Well, it's early.
Chicago Bears at Baltimore Ravens. I believe Lamar is going to try to play.
He is supposedly going to be back. Give me Baltimore for 6.
I got the Ravens for 3. I still don't trust their defense.
No.
And like I said, the Bears have won 4 in a row. So win this game. Watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miami Dolphins at Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta for 11.
I got Atlanta for 10. They lost last night, but I think they're tough at home. They play good defense.
Yeah.
Miami's just a train wreck right now.
Toast.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at New Orleans Saints.
Give me Bucs for 12.
Bucs play tonight against the Lions. I think the Lions win that game. Bucs take care of the interdivision game. I got them for 8. Tennessee Titans at Indianapolis Colts.
Colts for 13.
I got the Colts for 12. Yep, I think they went pretty easily. Dallas Cowboys at Denver Broncos.
Can't figure out the Broncos. Can't figure out the Cowboys. I'm taking Dallas, though, just to be different for 2, because I figure you have Denver.
I got Denver for 4. Denver's fared well against the Cowboys the last 2 times they've played them. Yeah. I know Javonte Williams will go nuts for Dallas. Romo and Nance on the call.
Oh, boy, boring.
I just don't know if I can stand another game like this. I think yesterday took some years off my life. I think I have high blood pressure, more gray hair, probably losing hair. But I got to say, being on the right side of a fan of that moment, there's nothing, no live drama like sports.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. Yeah.
I mean, it was, it's going to be a game where I'm going to be able to tell my kids someday and grandkids that I remember where I was watching that game, because I don't know if I'll ever see a Bronco victory like that one with those circumstances ever again.
I saw you were hating on Trent Green a little bit.
I can't stand him.
Can you not stand him because he's an IU guy, or can you?
No, I think his commentary stinks, and I associate him more as a Chief than I do IU. I mean, he graduated from IU in 94.
Yeah, I will say Trent Green is paired with my favorite play-by-play guy. I think Kevin Harlan is
fantastic. Guy, but I groan every time I see that pairing, because I've just never cared for Trent Green's commentary. I think he's bland. The Broncos have had him so many times over the years, especially the last decade when they've stunk. Yeah, I just don't like him. And one of our classmates, mutual friends, called me out on Twitter thinking I was throwing some shade at him because he's an IU guy. I said, I associate him with the Chiefs, but ..
I associate him more with Luke Goody. So he's also an IU guy.
He was a Dolphin.
He was a Dolphin so long ago and for so few starts that I barely even remember him as a Dolphin.
Fair.
Got concussed in like week 3.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he can walk.
He took some bad concussions.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And the Broncos were in their throwback jerseys. The first of 3 games they announced, they were against the Raiders and the Chargers, too. Ooh. So I always like the throwback uniforms. Good Sunday night one. Popular Sunday night one.
Yeah.
As far as 2 of the most popular teams in the league, 2 of the fan bases that travel the best, Packers at Steelers.
Give me Packers for 1.
I got Steelers for 1.
Is this Rodgers' first game against Green Bay since? I don't remember him playing against them.
I don't know if he did last year. I thought he was supposed to, maybe he was supposed to 2 years ago, and then he did.
Achilles,
but I don't. That's a good question. I don't know.
No.
I don't know, but that will that'll be a fun one.
Too bad it's not in Green Bay. That'd be fun.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to see him play at Green Bay.
I don't either.
Even though he can still play, I think he hangs it up after this year.
Yeah, maybe.
But, maybe not. And the Washington Commanders at the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, the Chiefs have a national game again.
Shocker. Commanders have been disappointing this year, which I think we both kind of predicted would happen. Chiefs for 5.
I got the Chiefs for 13. Jaden Daniels banged up. Hamstring injury.
Well, that's the way he plays. He's going to be banged up a lot. So
I don't know if he'll be able to go. If not, Marcus Mariota will get the start at Kansas City. So, fortunately, I think Kansas City is rolling.
So. Yeah, they're pretty good. Pretty good.
Yep. Any other NFL thoughts? Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for Baker Mayfield right now, I think Patrick Mahomes would be MVP frontrunner. But I think Baker would be. If at the end of the day, Baker's my MVP.
Or maybe Jonathan Taylor. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good one. Too.
He's a good year. Do you want to get educated?
I need it. It definitely feels like a Monday today.
On this day in 1888, Chicago and All-America baseball teams play an exhibition match in Auckland, New Zealand.
Wow.
Wonder how they got there. That'd be a long boat trip.
Yeah, I wonder how long that would have taken on both back then.
Weeks, I would say. Considering a flight is probably 24 hours or close to it at this point. And they didn't have flights back then.
So they had to get there on the boat.
Had to, yeah. On this day in 1910, the first use of a cork-centered baseball in the World Series. I don't know what that means.
What was it before then?
No idea. Hmm. That it might have been, I mean... I wonder if once they switched to the cork center, and that's when it was no longer the dead ball era, because before then, guys just didn't hit homers, or very few anyway. On this day in, let's see here, I'm in the 40s. 1947, the radio rights for the Baseball World Series sold for $475,000 for 3 years.
Wonder what that calculates to now.
A lot of money.
Probably still not
nearly as value what today. We, yeah.
Of course not. It's not because everything's more. That's when radio ruled, though, before TV.
That's true. Yeah. On this day in, not a great. 1976, New York Nets, Julius Dr. J. Irving's contract is sold to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, and I don't know which team I associate him more with. Because they both pop up in my mind. They're similar colors back then.
I always think Sixers.
Okay.
That's my thought. 1982, on this day, Billy Martin was fired. Seems like that's about every week we get one of those. Who won the World Series on this day in 1982?
Man, I really struggle with the World Series. 90s, I'm fine, but 82 was that the Orioles?
St. Louis Cardinals beat the Milwaukee Brewers 6-3.
That's weird. That's weird to hear.
Yeah. I mean,
the Brewers, Brewers in the American League back then
came to the NL in 1998, not that long ago.
Really? I thought it was before then.
Nope, 98. I can go back in my World Series trivia all the way to 82. That's like the last one I can get right. Good. 83 I struggle with. But yeah. 1988, LA Dodgers beat the Oakland A's 5-2 at Oakland Alameda County Coliseum to win the World Series. Who was the MVP that year?
Is that Kirk Gibson?
You would think after his famous homer, but it was Oral Hershiser.
Ah. I used to have his autograph. I think I lost it somewhere. Cool. So I was like in fifth grade at a Rangers Devil Rays then spring training game. Did not know who he was. My dad told me to go up to him and get his autograph.
Honestly, in 1990, the Cincinnati Reds beat the Oakland A's 2-1.
Last time they were worth a darn.
Yeah, to sweep Oakland and win the Reds' fifth title. Jose Rijo was the MVP.
I would say the last time either team was worth a darn, but the A's had a nice little run in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and even back in the mid-2010s to about 2021, they were pretty good. On this day, 1992, the first Baseball World Series game played outside of the United States as the Blue Jays beat the Braves 3-2. 1993, the Blue Jays scored 6 runs in the 8th inning to defeat the Philadelphia Phillies 15-14 in a slugfest at Veterans Stadium.
And then they would ultimately win that World Series on a walk-off grand slam by Joe Carter against Mitch Williams. So,
on this day in 1996, Andrew Jones became the youngest player at 19 years old to hit a home run in the World Series.
He was a good one.
He was. Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Weird spelling of his name, though.
It was, yeah. Andrew. On this day in 2004, the Red Sox came back from 0-3 to beat the Yankees 4-3. So it was topical.
Very fitting. I had no idea that was on
good
today.
But... good timing on that one. Yeah. On this day, 2 years ago, Philadelphia Phillies slugger Kyle Schwarber passed Reggie Jackson for most postseason homers by a left-handed hitter. Do you know he's third all-time in postseason homers, Kyle Schwarber?
I saw that. He's had a pretty good career.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, he did it with some other team besides the Cubs. Yeah. But,
it would have been interesting to see how his – I mean, especially now with the DH rule, how his career would have panned out with the Cubs.
People blame Jed for non-tendering him, and they should have tendered him a contract. But – it would have been a 1 year, and he would have – it was the last year before the DH, so, like, he probably – it wouldn't have gone as well.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Cubs. But he has an outside shot to get to 500 homers, believe it or not.
That's wild.
And that will do it for on this day. Actually, I got a trivia question for you. Who won the WNBA Finals last year? Because it was on this day.
Last year, not this year?
Correct.
So this year was the Aces, I believe. Last year, gosh, oh boy, go with the Aces again. I can't hear you.
New York Liberty.
Ah, shoot.
New York Liberty. Oh, you idiot.
You better study up on your WNBA. That's all I got to say for next week's show.
I had no idea the Liberty.
You think I'm joking? You think I'm joking? Just wait. You're getting tested on WNBA next week.
Well, you better make it part of birdie bogey, considering I'm up 7 strokes on you with about 8 weeks left to play in the year. So
I'll make it a 7 stroke worth question.
I'll find a way to get all of them right.
You would. I'll be down 14. So, and that is the On This Day good list this week, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Mooney Wood and Lasercraft. Mooney Wood and Lasercraft is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft and laser shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Lasercrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your order. Thad's been pumping out the designs lately on Instagram. We're sharing them on our end, on our Instagram. So make sure you're checking out our stories and follow him on Instagram, like I said, at Mooney Wood Lasercrafts. So he's getting better and better with his craft. No pun intended. All right, college football, J-Man, what were your big takeaways from week 8?
I think the biggest one was Billy Napier getting fired.
Yeah, we all saw it coming.
It was very predictable, and there were talks all week that it was going to happen, but I think that was kind of the big storyline. The U played a very poor game at home against Louisville over the weekend.
Jeff Brohm special, baby.
Jeff Brohm and Carson Beck special.
Yep.
Throwing 4 interceptions.
They're not out of it yet, though.
No, I think they need to run the table. And the ACC is weak enough where you definitely...
It might be a blessing in disguise for them.
Might be. Yeah, get it out of their system. But they did not play very well. Elsewhere around the country, I didn't watch a ton of college football. I don't really watch that much college football throughout the week. And, but other than that, were there any top 10 teams that lost? Ole Miss lost.
Yeah.
Georgia in a very good game.
Ole Miss, Miami.
Yeah. Texas Tech lost to Arizona State.
Yeah.
Good win for Arizona State. And they're starting to play pretty good football here, too. I know they lost last week. And they got their quarterback back. The Holy War was very good.
Nobody's talking about BYU.
No. And I think they're in the top 10 now, aren't they?
Should be if they're not. Yeah. Well, Vanderbilt's 10th now. There's Vanderbilt over LSU was a
pretty good one. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Brian Kelly, man.
Yeah, they're talking about paying that buyout, too. I mean, you've seen these massive buyouts, James Franklin, Billy Napier, but now they're talking that depending on the rest of the season, even when it happened, when they hired him, I think we all thought it was
BYU's 11th. Sorry to interrupt.
We all thought Kelly was a weird fit, at LSU, even when it happened. And it's turned out to be bad so far there. He should have stayed at Notre Dame, and I think Notre Dame's a lot better without him, honestly.
You know what, though? If I'm a fan of one of these schools like an LSU, I don't want them to pay $50 million to buy out that contract. I want them, you know, stop screwing around the offseason, mm-hmm. buckle down, figure it out. We'll give you new assistants. We'll get rid of those guys, figure it out. Yeah. That's what we hired you for, because I just hate the thought in this process in this country that we can pay people $50 million not to work.
Yeah, it's a dream.
It's just
– I'm with you.
Like, I think James Franklin, if he wants a job, he's going to get a job. I mean, more and more jobs are opening up around the country.
Yeah.
And there's some big jobs that could be opening. Florida State could be opening. Auburn could be opening. I guess LSU could be opening.
And all these jobs open will have a domino effect, because you could see a guy like Lane Kiffin leave to take the Florida job, or you know, maybe a Matt Rhule takes the Penn State job. So it can open up these more.
I don't want him after Friday night.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I'd be very underwhelmed with that hire if I'm Penn State. But
you know, name getting thrown around, I keep seeing it. Pete Thamel even mentioned for Florida. I don't know if he do. Jeff Brohm's name's getting flown around. Mm. I mean, he's at home right now.
Yeah.
Easier conference.
Much easier.
Paid decent, pretty good money, but maybe he uses that leverage to get even more money. I don't know.
Which he should, which is what Kurt Cignetti did. Yep. Credit IU for going and getting it done, too, because you found the guy you think's going to lead your program to this, you know, maybe not a national. I mean, you have national title aspirations.
They're number two in the country.
Second in the country.
Number two in the country.
Yeah. You have to have that expectation or aspiration, but you found the guy to lead your program. You got to keep him. And credit them for going and getting it done. A lot of money for a fairly unproven Power 4 coach. But good on them for doing it. And I assume Ole Miss will try to do the same with Lane.
They would be smart to.
Be very smart to. You kind of have to in today's age. But, yeah, I don't know.
You know one coach I love. Don't know if he'd leave, though, because he's at his alma mater. He's got them in the top 10. Brett Key
of Georgia Tech. Definitely. Yeah, because Georgia Tech was a dumpster fire when he took over. He'd be a very good hire. Should Brohm take the Florida job, would you Purdue fans hate him more?
No.
No? You're just done with him at this point?
Yeah, I understand why he left.
For sure.
I'm just a little disappointed the shape of the program he left, because he kind of didn't recruit very hard the last 2 years. It was kind of like the wheels were in motion to leave.
Yeah. He was waiting for it to open. And it didn't. Yeah. Yep.
Which I think it still surprised everybody opened when it did, because Satterfield was going to come back, but then he jumped for Cincinnati, which looked like a good move for him now this year.
Definitely.
So then the domino effect, and I think Mike Bobinski was caught without much of a plan, which is awful, because he should have been
definitely
strapped up with a plan. And I don't, and it's hurt Purdue football the last couple of years, because they had a little momentum and they've completely lost it. Now they are losing 19-0 at Northwestern, which Northwestern owns Purdue. They've won like, I think, 14 of the last 20.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I hate playing them. I hate it.
That was an ugly one. I watched.
They were as flat as flat can be.
Yeah.
And Barry Odom even said he was shocked after the game with how little juice the team had. He said it was the worst he's ever seen in his coaching career.
Wow.
And he took responsibility and on the other coaches. But this is their last chance to probably get one this week, homecoming against Rutgers, who also looks awful.
They look bad. They caught Oregon at the worst possible time.
Yeah, that was impressive for Oregon to fight across country and put that performance up.
Definitely.
So. Definitely. Let's run through Big Ten games, and we'll start by the awful game we were just talking about. Rutgers at Purdue, only the third meeting between these two, first since 2020.
That's crazy. I think I've seen enough of Purdue to never pick them again the rest of the year. So I'm taking Rutgers for 4.
Well, you're not going to pick them in November when they play at Michigan, Ohio State at home, at Washington, and Indiana home.
I picked them last week thinking they'd win, but it backfired on me.
I'll pick them one more time because it's homecoming and I love pain and misery. Pick Purdue for 1, but starting quarterback Ryan Brown might not play. He's doubtful. He went out with an injury. against Northwestern.
Yeah.
So the, Malik,
I will say now they were down 19-0, but the offense moved better with Singleton in there. But again, they were down 19-0 at that point. Right. So it's a little different. Right.
He's more of a run first quarterback. So I don't know. UCLA at number two, Indiana.
Give me Indiana for six.
I got him for seven. Hats off this UCLA program, though.
Definitely.
They were in the water 3 weeks ago, and they've won three straight.
Yeah.
So that's the Fox Big Noon game.
Yep.
Northwestern at Nebraska.
Give me Nebraska.
The lines. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Give me Nebraska for five.
For what it's worth, Nebraska is a 7.5-point favorite. I got them for two. Indiana is a 24.5-point favorite, and Rutgers is a 2.5-point favorite.
Okay.
Number 23, Illinois, back in the top 25 at Washington, who's a 4.5-point favorite.
This is a big, big, big one for Illinois because I think they have an outside shot if they run the table to make the playoff. And
you'd have to be back on the bandwagon.
I'd have to be back on the bandwagon. You look at their November, they only have one road game the rest of the year after this one. They get Rutgers, Maryland, and Northwestern at home, and they have at Wisconsin in November.
Yeah.
So this is maybe the biggest game in Illinois history. Because, again, if they're able to run the table, I think they have a shot. I don't know if they'll actually get in. With that being said, I'm taking Washington for two.
I got Washington for five. I think they're pretty good, even though they're humbled a little bit out in Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't play very well at Michigan.
Minnesota at Iowa. The fight for the Floyd of Ray Rosedale, the pig trophy, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Good win for Iowa against a desperate Penn State team.
They're 8.5-point favorites this week.
Very fortunate. I'm taking Minnesota, though. PJ Fleck can coach, man. Minnesota for one.
Yeah, and Purdue had them beat.
They did.
Ticks me off. Iowa for three. I like them at home at Kinnick. They're tough at home. Wisconsin at number six, Oregon. Wisconsin came out backing Luke Fickell and saying they're going to put more money in the program.
Good luck to you there. Yep. If they lose out, he's gone, right?
Guess, 2-10. Want to guess the spread?
Oregon 32.5.
33.5.
Oh, man, that was a good guess. Give me Oregon for seven.
I got Oregon for six. Number 25, Michigan, 14.5-point favorites at East Lansing against Michigan State.
Michigan State stinks. Give me Michigan for three.
I got Michigan for four. Top 25 games. See if there's anything decent. I'm not doing anybody with a losing record. I will do this one, though. This team does have a losing record. Number 16, Virginia, 6-1 at 2-4 North Carolina. Virginia's 10.5-point favorite. Can Belichick get a big win?
No. Give me Virginia.
I'm thinking Virginia as well. Number 8, Ole Miss at number 13, Oklahoma is a 4.5-point favorite.
That's a good one. Give me Ole Miss.
Loser, both teams 6-1. Loser maybe out of the playoff. Maybe. Yeah. I'll take Oklahoma at home. Number 4, Alabama at, well, I did it again, 3-4, South Carolina. Alabama is a 11.5-point favorite.
South Carolina's got to be, I wouldn't say they're the most disappointing team in the country after.
They were so overrated, starting at 11th.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy. It was a clear SEC bias. Yeah. Give me Alabama, large.
I take Bama as well. Game day, game of the weekend. Number 15, Missouri, 6-1, and number 10. Yes, number 10,
you know,
6-1, who is a 2.5-point favorite.
We were talking trash about Diego Pavia or whatever his name is all year, saying how he's delusional. He's backing it up. I'll give him that. Definitely backing it up. I don't either. Missouri found a way to beat a bad Auburn team in OT over the weekend and act like they won the Super Bowl. He does. Give me Vandy.
I'll take Missouri to be different in that one. Number 11, BYU at 5-2, Iowa State. Who is a 2.5-point favorite?
Who is it?
BYU at
Iowa State. Give me BYU. They keep winning.
Yeah, I like them too. Why not? They get no respect. Why not? 4-3, Baylor at 6-1. Number 21, Cincinnati, who's a 4.5-point favorite.
Give me Natty.
I like Cincinnati as well. Number 22, Texas, 5-2 at 4-3, Mississippi State. Texas is a 6.5-point favorite.
Man, Arch does not look very good. They got very fortunate over the weekend as well to beat Kentucky. Give me Texas.
Speaking of Kentucky, there's no line on this game. Number 17, Tennessee, 5-2 at 2-4, Kentucky.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I like Tennessee as well. And lastly, 6-1, Houston at 5-2. Number 24, Arizona State, who is a 7.5-point favorite.
Give me Arizona State.
Yep, forks up. I'll take Arizona State as well.
Trivia question. Can you name the last player to win NBA NBA regular season MVP and NBA Finals MVP in the same season.
Well, I'm down to two players, probably both wrong on both, but don't tell me if I am, even though throwing both out there. Greek Freak and the Joker. I'm going with the Greek Freak.
Good guess, but it was kind of a trick question because it just happened last year with Shea Gilgeous Alexander.
I'm embarrassed.
You shouldn't have been because Google got it wrong too. Because I googled it and said it was LeBron James. There's been like three guys since
that AI Google sucks.
It's terrible. Like, yeah,
that's embarrassing because I don't watch a lot of the NBA. And I watched all the NBA Finals last year. That's embarrassing. I'm not going to get a birdie this year.
Well, that was a tough question.
No, it was not. No, it was.
I have another tough one in the holster.
Well, you got to study up with WNBA, my friend.
That's going to be fun.
WNBA.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.